lot about the two snakes.
Yo, keeping your distance actually is wise.
Critter of the Month is a feature when Colorado Parks and Wildlife is on with us monthly on TTO. This, that, and the other. It's brought to you by the Arkansas Valley Hospice. Weekdays after 8 on AM 1400 KBLJ. It's time for Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, a show to educate you on the best seed selections and soil preparations for residential and commercial turf, range of grass, cover crops, and more. And now, Lauren Adams of Arkansas Valley Seeds alongside Pat McGee, Growing Together on AM 1400 KBLJ. Still in for Pat this Tuesday, this wonderful Tuesday, Lauren and Eric sitting in the seats ready to go. And I mean, at this point, all I'm doing is really pushing buttons, right?
Yeah. Well, you're a great addition to the conversation. You're kind of a fresh voice to the conversation. We're glad to have you here.
All right. Even if you have to put up in my conversations about dirt.
Ouch. That's a
four-letter. You know, I did that on purpose, right?
Man. I was going to say you're a good button pusher, and you are a good button pusher.
See? Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
All together. And here I was bragging you off air how excited I was that I had done something positive for my soil,
you
that
did.
I put my vegetable clippings in my flower bed.
My flower garden there.
Yeah. Hopefully someday that the cats won't be in there, but you know, it's another show for another day, right?
You betcha. We'll talk a little bit more about that, and we'll get you some of our wildflower seeds from Arkansas Valley Seeds to
See?
Help you out next year.
Right, yeah. There. I mean, I can't miss, right? With that?
Right.
All right,
that's
so we
exactly
are talking
right.
soils, so why don't you just go ahead and take the show?
All right, I sure will. And my name is Lauren Adams. I'm with Arkansas Valley Seeds. We're at 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford, Colorado, and we would love for you to come by and see us. Right now is a great time to start thinking about, you know, we're still working a lot on our honey sweet sorghum is one of our most popular items that's going out right now, and it is, we got plenty in stock. And it's a good time to get it in the ground, get that soil working. And we've also got our millets are also, it's a good time to get those in. And when it comes time for the next little planting season, come on in and talk to us and let's come up with a crop plan.
Yes.
Tony and I can talk to you about that. But for today, we've been talking a little bit about soil over this last month, Eric and I. And Eric, I just really appreciate the conversations that you and I have had. And just the interest that we've been able to develop here in the Arkansas Valley about soil health and the phone calls that we've been able to get, probably a lot of it from this program.
Yeah.
You know, people want to follow up and talk about it. We had people at the counter yesterday talking about some salinity issues that they were having.
Okay.
And I thought, boy, that's really a good topic for us to kind of hit on today, because we've hit on those five principles of soil health quite a bit. And I've had a few conversations with our guest today, Mr. Rudy Garcia.
Yes, sir.
And you introduced me to Rudy, really. When you and I first talked about doing this Soil Health Month, you said, this is a man we need to talk to on the program.
Right.
And you all but demanded I get in touch with him. And that's how I ended up getting to know Steve Cadis.
Right.
And Steve Cadis, I got in touch with Steve, and I guess Rudy and Steve used to work together. And now... Rudy, you're working with Roots of Refuge, LLC, and this is Soil Health and Water Quality Specialist offering regenerative technical illustrations and depictions to depict the basic biological, physical, and chemical components of soil health. Yeah. So I want to introduce our audience to Rudy Garcia. Rudy, tell us a little bit about yourself, and let's get into it.
First of all, can you hear me okay on this phone?
I can hear you fine through my headphones. I hope the audience can hear you good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I retired 1 year ago, and I worked 30 years for the USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service. And all of my 30 years here were in the Southwest working with irrigated farmers from anywhere from vegetables, fruit orchards, pecans, pastures, alfalfa, and a variety of cropping systems. So the majority of my background is working with producers, looking at water tests from irrigation wells from the Rio Grande, looking at soil tests, fertility tests, tissue tests, and especially in the last 15 years, we moved a lot towards doing in-field soil health assessments to evaluate the habitat and function of the soil and its ability to grow crops under different irrigation, water quality, and fertility programs and what have you. And so So that's been my background, and I actually grew up as a vegetable producer in the north part of New Mexico near the town of Abiquiu, New Mexico, where the famous artist George O'Keefe lived. And anyways, my family has been there for a long time, and I was very blessed to have grown up practicing all the soil health principles of biodiversity. Briefly, we grew over 70 varieties of vegetables on 7 acres, about 7 acres. And so we grow cool season and warm season crops. So we had, a big part of the year, we had continuous living roots from our cool season, warm season crops. And our soil was always covered either with a living plant or with surface residues decomposing. So there was soil the majority of the time covered, right, protecting it from evaporation, wind, erosion, and stuff like that.
And this was years ago. This was years ago. This wasn't just recently as part of the new soil health kind of.
No.
Yeah, you did this as a kid.
You bring up a good point because when I started working with my friend Greer Chuleta and some of the more famous people like Gabe Brown and Dr. Alan Williams and a number of other top folks, I had brought up to them that the concept of soil health and soil health principles was something that was practiced by a number of farmers along the Rio Grande for many generations. I was very blessed to learn this since the late 60s. I can remember vividly when I started learning this stuff. It was already well practiced and understood by my father and my mother, who were master gardeners. So we knew about this biodiversity, continuous living roots, maximizing soil cover with a living plant or surface residues, and we practice minimum disturbance. For example, biological disturbance by having a diversity of plants and not overgrazing when we grew our cover crops with sheep and goats. We had minimal biological disturbance because we had maximum biological plants on it. And then as far as physical disturbance, we tilled very minimally to maintain the irrigation rose from irrigating with a stakia, surface irrigation. Mm-hmm. So soils were minimally disturbed. And then chemical disturbance, we relied on our cover crop and diversity and all that to provide all our fertility in addition to some compost and grazing. And of course, every year at the end of the growing season, we would graze all of our crop residues after we had a very hard winter till. Right. And then that would prepare the ground for planting cool season cover crops. So we practice proper irrigation, diversity, continuous cover, minimal disturbance, grazing with sheep and goats. And the way of farming that I grew up in was very, very successful. And so I learned this at a long, long time ago, and it was already practiced by a number of producers.
That's great. The reason why we wanted you on the program, and the reason why we wanted to hear this, is because we want our listeners to hear your voice, because you have been through this and you've experienced it as a producer and as an advisor with the USDA and NRCS. And so you have a unique perspective because you know what it's like to be that producer utilizing these practices and the benefits of them. And as I was reading through some of your information before the show here, I saw instances where you've dealt with salinity issues with people, and I wanted to see if we could just hit on that specifically just a little bit, about how people can do that and address those salinity issues. And then I'd like to turn the conversation over to Eric, so you and Eric can talk a little bit about what he's doing right here in the Arkansas Valley with his new ranch.
Right, yeah.
So you talk a little bit of salinity before we talk to there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I've worked with many producers here in New Mexico, some in Colorado and Utah, Arizona, and other places dealing with salinity. And we have learned and observed over many years, and just from the practical science, that unless you practice the soil health principles to build well-aggregated, structured soil that have a good structure stability and unless they have this following indicators that we do in the field, you will have trouble managing salinity, because mm-hmm. it all goes back to the soil and the biology and how well the living environment is. So let me give you an example when we had the least problems with salinity from from irrigation, whether from river or well water or both, and and what have you. So when our some of our producers begin this journey of transitioning to the soil health principles, the first thing that we observe is that you restore the soil habitat in a well-structured aggregate on the top few inches of the soil. So when we would do in-field assessment, we would find this. We would find good aggregate stability. Mm-hmm. When we would use infiltration rings, we would see dramatic increases in water infiltration due to the porous porous structure of the soils. Number of earthworms would begin to increase, in some cases from zero to a few years later up to 10 or 15 earthworms per cubic foot.
Good.
And you would see the presence of earthworm sap. The other part is that we would see much more surface cover with residues decomposing during the hot part of the season. You could see signs of residue decomposition and the surface cover, and in addition to the living plants. So that would moderate and reduce the soil temperatures a lot. Another indicator that you would see that was very obvious was the soil color would become darker due to the presence of higher organic matter.
Mm-hmm.
When you would pull out roots, you would see, especially on your grass crops, you would see the rhizosheath. You would see a root cover with full of aggregates along the roots, and those are called rhizosheaths. Also, we would see a variety and more diversity of beneficial insects, pollinators, and stuff like that because of the diversity of the plants. Another thing that we do that was very simple, we would buy a brick where we would measure the amount of dissolved content on it and content with a brick refractometer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, what we would find is that some soils, when they were in a poorly functioning and having salinity problems, they would have a very low percent bricks, like 3 or 4%, and then a few years later would go as high as 7, 8, 9, 10, or 12%. So that means that there's more photosynthetic activity because the soil's healthier. We had healthier roots. When we would use a penetrometer to measure pounds per square inch, and we would find as the soil gets aggregated and develops better properties that you have low, the soil is less compacted, it's less dense, and a penetrometer moves through the soil within 100 to 150 pounds per square inch. So that means you just have, it's much easier for the roots to go through the soil because they're less compacted. We would also do soil moisture measuring. I had the opportunity of using a number of instruments, soil potentiometers, electrical resistance blocks, and others, and you could physically see that the soil was being restored.
All right, Rudy, we got to head into our first break here in just a minute. So just to kind of recap, when it comes to the salinity issues, you were just mm-hmm. get started. Just get something going on the surface, and then you can work down from there, and there's several things that we can do. So as we head into the first break and then we come back, I'd like to turn the conversation over to Eric, and you guys can talk about what he's doing on his ranch.
Okay.
You're listening to Growing Together with Lauren Adams and Eric Tucker here on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio KLMR in Lamar. We're back after this. We love having you get up with us in the morning and tackle your day.
I don't know if I'm going to diagram any sentences here today. I can't even talk today.
There's always some useful information that you get by listening to TTO, this, that, and the other.
Broadcasters banded together to play We Are the World.
Sometimes you get some musical suggestions from our own Pat McGee.
Just a great band, though, the Tragically Hip.
You are kind of Tragically Hip.
I am Tragically Hip, that's right. It's a great band. If you haven't heard of them, you need to hear of them.
Okay. But you always get community news.
We are sponsoring the third annual six-word story contest.
On your hometown station, TTO, brought to you by the Arkansas Valley Hospice. Mornings. There was that go. Way back in the day?
Way back in the day, I used to watch that after Cub Scouts every Wednesday night.
Aw, I just got a visual of that.
Me in the little blue Cub Scout uniform and
so
stuff.
Cute.
Yeah, you bet.
Just after 8.
You think I should try it?
Absolutely.
I
you should.
Give that a shot, yeah.
Both of you guys should.
Hey, it's Anne, and y'all know I'm a writer. Y'all might not know that Pat cannot draw. And yet, the other day on TTO, This, That, and the Other, brought to you by the Arkansas Valley Hospice, we went there. We did. We went there.
The Bits in the Hall. That's going to be our book. We should copyright that name. That's going to be our book, The Bits in the Hall.
So then I said, since I'm the writer and you're not, you can illustrate it.
Well, no, wait a minute. We could illustrate it with stick figures.
Now, I don't know about you, but when you think of a book illustrated with stick figures, do you think of this?
CPAT. CPAT work. CPAT work hard.
TTO is a community show where we give out information of things happening in your community, and we have a lot of fun. If you'd like to be on TTO, give us a call at 384-5456. CPAT work hard. CPAT say goodbye.
Trent Luce coming up next with Rural Route Radio.
Brought to you by the Arkansas Valley Hospice, homegrown and deep-rooted. It's mornings on AM 1400 KBLJ. And we're back on Growing Together on Newstalk AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio 920 KLMR and Lamar.
Hey, and boy, we're back with Rudy Garcia. He's coming to us from New Mexico. He's got a website called Roots of Regeneration. You should check that out. And boy, Rudy is one of the most excited people. When I talk to him about soil health, you just can't hardly hold him back. He's just got so much to say and such an abundance of valuable information to put out there. Now, Eric Tucker is a local soil enthusiast, and he's a rancher. He's got his own cattle. He works for other people and runs cattle for them. And he just recently purchased a ranch. And Tony, the boss out there at Arkansas Valley Seed, came out Friday, took a look, and had quite a little tour. And so I'd like for the two of you to just have a little conversation about what's going on at Eric's ranch and the things that Eric is putting in place to help regenerate his soil. And let's see what Rudy can do to help.
Hey, all right. Thanks, Rudy. Or thanks, Lauren. Hi, Rudy. Glad to visit with you.
Rudy?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Did we lose Rudy?
There he
is. No, I'm here. Eric's going to talk about his operation, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Glad we didn't lose you. I was starting to panic there. Well, Rudy's been up here in this area. He kind of knows what we're talking about. Yeah. We've got some pretty degraded soil, some lack of soil organic matter, which is what he was talking about on the salinity. And and it was kind of neat. I've used a refractometer to find out the nutrient value on some of the plants that we're grazing the cattle on.
Sure.
And to literally go from 3 to 7 is pretty good. And that's the lowest cost way to improve your pasture, improve your nutrient density on your crops and your grazing and your livestock. That's what we were talking about last week, so I was glad to hear that people were using that. And Rudy's pretty good help. He's been on one of my places before and a good guy to visit with, and he's, you know, not too far out, so it's good to have him around.
Yeah.
We were talking this morning. I called him to just visit with him, and we were talking about what some of the things that I've been working on. And this place that we bought was old irrigated farm ground. Degraded, dried up, got some selenium issues, some low soil organic matter, you know, all the problems that we've always had up there. And it was good to compare notes. We found out that the grazing animal is probably the thing most cost effectively that'll fix this land.
Really?
And this is what I've always wanted to do. This is why my wife Mary Beth and I bought this place, is we wanted to improve the soil with what the tools that we had and the skills, and that's kind of our story right there. We're using a lot of planned high stock density grazing and trying to, whatever the cattle don't eat, get mashed into the ground with the density. And Rudy was talking this morning, he's been seeing that this is really the only way to fix land, and Rudy's been in some pretty unique places.
Yeah.
Rudy, what do you have to add?
As we were talking this morning, Eric, I was telling you that some places when you just don't have enough rainfall, I think you said you had around 9 inches for your area, you know, applying the soil health principles, the holistic management and what have you is one way of building soil health at a faster pace when you just don't have enough water and you got to make the most of it. So the grazing part, what they're practicing is one way of building soil health. And I had talked to you about my friend from Chihuahua, Mexico, Alejandro Carrillo, made some of his deserts that are just the same as ours in New Mexico very well, very productive. And you can see his YouTube or videos on his soil health. But basically, at the end of the day, applying the soil health principles restores the function of the soil. And basically what you're doing is you're improving the habitat to have a much higher microbial activity in the soil that makes aggregates, that cycles nutrients, that is able to store more water. And that part can be the most subtle part. And you and I, Eric, talked about it a number of years ago when I was at your place, that it's very hard for folks that are dealing with drought, salinity, and poor dysfunctional soil. It's very hard to see things when you're not well-versed or have a good understanding of the microbial life that takes place in the soil. And that's where all the activity is taking place, and your management and how you irrigate and how you use cover crops and your soil health system is basically designed for one thing, is to increase the biological activity of your soil, and that's what you're looking at. So all the things that I mentioned a while ago about ideal lower temperatures, good oxygen, the soil's being fed, holding more moisture and all that kind of stuff, that's what the soil health principles do, is they restore the function of the soil, mm-hmm. so that the microbes that live in the realm of the invisible to our human eye, so that they function and they have the right environment to cycle nutrients, to develop nutrient-dense plants, healthy soil. It's in the realm of soil microbiology, and it can be at times, for someone that has not practiced that way of farming, can be difficult because you have to have a complete soil health paradigm shift. You've got to change the way you think, or you rely too much on other approaches without seeing the system as a whole.
So I have a question. Me being new to agriculture, if I were to just take a piece of land that maybe has been neglected and abused and maybe it's got some salinity issues and it's not growing much, if I just do one thing, if I just maybe find a neighbor who has some cow manure and I spread it out there and I leave it there, is that going to be at least something, or do I need to add other components to my efforts in order for even that to be effective?
Yeah, that's going to help, but you have only addressed one piece of the ecological puzzle. And so when you look at the soil health principles, it is when you have diversity, when you have a continuous living root, when you have cover, whether it's living plants or crop residues, and you're practicing the minimal disturbance and proper irrigation, and it's when you do the all the parts of it that it works. And it works very inefficient when you only do one part at a time. And so we've observed that over
that was
and
my
over
question,
many years.
If I just do one of the five, it's probably not going to be enough to really see any kind
right.
of result. Yeah.
It's living plants that fix the soil. It's living plants and diversity. And so for you're probably much better off with a diverse cover crop in your rotation or what have you. But adding just manure by itself or any other practice without a holistic approach will not work efficiently at all.
Right.
Because you're having you have too many ecological pieces of the puzzle. They're not in place.
Right. The holistic approach is sews it all up in one little sack. All the principles actually work together and they fit
right.
one another. When you understand those, it becomes very apparent how valuable they really are. And then that's holistic thinking right there. And then you set goals and make plans and keep working on it, and progress will happen readily. I've seen that for quite a while. We've been out on a few years on a piece of grass that had a lot of weeds, and just by managing the grazing time and time again and leaving the residue and the cover, keeping it armored, and trying to encourage living roots as long as possible, our growing season expanded quite a little bit. We had green grass before a lot of the neighbors did off into the fall, and that was only with about 7/10 of moisture throughout the summer. We maintained green grass. So there's a lot of value in all the soil health principles, and sewing them together, putting them to work on your own property makes all the sense. Understanding is where to start.
Rudy?
Yeah, having done this for years and having grown up doing on it, is many times a person that that is new to it or does not believe that it'll work. Because we've heard this story many times. It won't work in my place. It's the wrong soil, the season's too dry and all that. Yet we've seen it work in every kind of condition you can imagine. Is that it's best for some people to begin trying it on a small piece of their land, to put all the pieces together and learn over a couple of years till you learn how to integrate it. And so it's an educational thing. You got to change the way you think. And it's very important to go visit with producers like Eric Tucker and a few others that are making it work, that have stuck to putting it together. Otherwise, for a lot of folks, they're just going to say, I just can't do it.
Yeah, because initially it appears to be
too complicated, but it actually isn't.
Yeah, well, Derek, a week before last, Derek was given the example of how he tried just a couple of the practices on one part of his land where he was integrating some cover crops in along with his corn rows.
Yeah.
And he just tried it out on that one little piece. And what Derek's suggestion is just what you just said. Try it out on a little section. You don't have to go all in, but try it out and see what works for you. Because every piece of land is different, just like every human being has a different set of DNA. Every piece of land is different and has different needs. And so if you go out a little bit at a time and try and see what works for you and see what works with your personality and what you can integrate into your daily farm life that's going to be effective and something that, you know, you're eating an elephant, and you've got to eat it one bite at a time. And the only way to do that is if you're not going to take that next bite unless that first bite tasted pretty good.
Right.
So try a little piece, see what you can do, and if that works out, then pull on the reins, because from what I understand, people want to go full tilt boogie and go all in at that point. But it's better just to grow incrementally throughout your operation, rather than just to, you know, say, all right, Katie, bar the door, we're going in. And so just wait a minute, try it, see what that does for that season, see what the results are, and see what you might critique and expand a little bit.
Well, to elaborate on that, so I've been buying seed from you, and what I've been doing to create biodiversity on the living root is I'll broadcast that in front of the cattle, and then we'll bring in the cattle with a little higher density for a shorter period of time to incorporate that seed. And we've had some adequate rain. We've got some really nice places with peas and rye, and it's phenomenal. It's not a field, but it's adding diversity where nothing was growing before.
Yeah. So rather than drilling in the seeds, you're broadcasting it out there, put a little higher stock density out there, and let those cow hooves basically till that seed in for you.
That's exactly it.
And they're fertilizing it as they go, pretty much. So it sounds like we're getting pretty close to our next break, so let's turn it over to Ann.
All right, you're listening to Growing Together with Lauren Adams and, of course, the gentleman here in studio, Eric Tucker, and Rudy Garcia on the phone. We're talking soils, and we're back after this on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio 920 KLMR.
Oh, hey, Ralph, come here. I need you to be our big voice guy. Just say true confessions.
You mean like this? True confessions? That's silly. Why do the two of you act like children? Do you need a nap and a snack?
Ralph, I just wanted you to play along. I found something funny. Something funny that Pat McGee said the other day.
Ginny Francis, wasn't she Laura on General Hospital back in the day?
I never watched that.
Well, oh, my gosh.
See, I'm a Days of Our Lives kind of girl.
I should remember, though, because way back in the day, when Nunnery Electronics was right down there on First Street, where First Street Emporium is now, Larry and I were hooked on General Hospital.
And we want to know, what is your guilty pleasure?
Go to our Facebook page and play along. Guilty pleasures. Is that like a nap and a snack?
TTO, this, that, and the other on AM 1400 KBLJ is brought to you by the Arkansas Valley Hospice, homegrown and deep-rooted.
Pat McGee has just admitted that he is hooked on a soap opera.
What, back in the day, I mean.
Do you need a nap and a snack? Will I get a voice talent fee for this?
So it's all fun and games in the morning on TTO, this, that, and the other, until the old guys start bringing out their stories.
I'm old, I'll admit it. You're old school as well. I'll say old school, I will say. Anyway.
You boys do what you need to do to feel better about yourselves.
Well,
I'm just over here.
I mean, we grew up when you actually had to run your car yourself, okay? It didn't do all that stuff all by itself. You had to operate your automobile. You had to turn on the lights. You had to roll down the windows. You had to adjust the seat by slot. You know, all
so
that stuff.
So much work.
Yes.
So much work.
Yes, you had to have a key to open the door and stuff like that.
And yet you're here to tell us about it.
I know. We lived through it. Isn't that amazing?
TTO, This, That, and the Other is a community show that brings you information about your community. It's brought to you by the Arkansas Valley Hospice, homegrown and deep-rooted every morning just after 8 on Newstalk AM 1400 KBLJ.
Your home is filled with so many special memories, but these days it may be hard to make rent and mortgage payments. There is a free service that can help. ColoradoHousingConnects.org is where you can find free legal help and counseling to help you get through these challenging times. The counselors at Colorado Housing Connects, many of whom are in your community, can help with financial resources, grants, and legal assistance, even if you are facing foreclosure or eviction. Don't wait any longer. Call 844-926-6632 or visit ColoradoHousingConnects.org today for more information. Housing counselors, navigators, and attorneys are standing by to help you keep your home. Call 844-926-6632 or visit ColoradoHousingConnects.org. They can help. Sponsored by Colorado Housing Connects, the Colorado Broadcasters Association, and this station.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Colorado Army National Guard, aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back with Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. My name is Lauren Adams. Right beside me is Eric Tucker, and Ann Boswell is driving the car. We're here on AM 920 KLMR and AM 1400 KBLJ. And on the phone, we got a great guest, Rudy Garcia, and we are talking soil health. We're going to be wrapping up Soil Health Month today. Next week, we're going to be talking, Eric and I, just ourselves to kind of wrap it up.
Yes.
We're going to talk specifically about Eric's ranch and what he's doing out there for his soil health. But for today, we're talking to Rudy Garcia out in New Mexico, and he has a lot to say. And, boy, we just can't pinch it all into a 45-minute program. So, Eric, tell us just a little bit more about how you got to know Rudy.
Oh, well, a few years ago, Rudy came up to a soil health program they had in Rocky Ford. He was one of the main guest speakers.
No kidding.
And
okay.
I think we did the various tests, like the water infiltration tests and why keeping it covered retains moisture versus runoff. And Rudy did an excellent job. And I just gathered him up right after that, and we visited. And then we went out to my place and kind of been, you know, soil health buddies ever since. And he's down in New Mexico, and that's not really very far geographically.
Right.
It's right around the corner.
Oh, you can throw a rock and hit the New Mexico border from here, just about.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like to think, I like to work with local people.
Sure.
And, you know, it's great. I've got friends in 45-inch rainfalls, and we talk and communicate. All the principles work everywhere.
Right.
But when you go from that to 9 inches, you know, it's a little different. So this is why we speak in rainfall,
yeah,
and that sure. Rudy was right on.
Rudy, you know a thing or two about lack of rainfall, don't you? And you know about the five principles can help you keep some of that sky water.
Yeah. You know, without it, you're going to have high evaporation rates and salinity concentration and what have you. So, get informed, learn how to do the field assessments of, using the things that we talked about. And as we talked about, start on a small scale learning these things, or you'll never really get to it because you'll think that it won't work in your area because it's too dry or you don't have the right soils. But all I can say is that we've done this on various climates and what have you, and it pretty much you can make progress in many types of soils, climates, and cropping systems. You just have to apply those principles and learn how to do them for yourself and locally.
I wanted to mention something about, I call them experiments,
okay,
or they're trials, or
sure,
they're places that are safe to fail. It's taking a small piece and using your ideas of what you think could happen, what's
right
next. And like on where we were planting the peas and the rye, that was literally an acre and a half.
Okay.
And then we bought three or four bags of seed, mm-hmm, and then we put those cattle, and we put about 37,000 pounds of cattle on. And that's not a lot of cattle, but the density, you got them, you want them to step on virtually every inch,
mm-hmm,
and of that area. And that's a pretty easy thing to do. And after a while, if it grows, you're going to study that and figure out what's going on.
Sure.
And if something bad happens, like a lot of wind in Easter blows a lot of it away,
mm-hmm,
you see that, but you haven't mortgaged anything or leveraged anything to the point of catastrophe and failure.
You're on a section or an area of your property where it's safe to fail. If
yes,
it doesn't work out, you don't got a tremendous amount of skin in the game,
right,
but you know that you're applying the correct practices. And so if it comes out to where it's going to bring you, improve the quality of your soil or your land,
right,
then you've won. But
yes,
if not, then you're out a couple $100.
Well,
yeah,
it's hardly nothing. And I've done it on several places. I bought the golden millet and then the sweet sorghum from,
sure,
you.
Mm-hmm.
And I broadcast that. Mary Beth did that. And then we put the cattle on and we're waiting for some rain. And mm-hmm, that's another safe to fail. So that whole thing cost $100,
yeah,
on basically 2 acres. So if we get adequate rain, we'll have a small hay field right there.
Yeah.
And that adds to the bottom line, and it didn't detract much from the bottom line.
Yeah.
So these safe to fails, get an idea and just plan it out and monitor and measure the outcome and readjust your thinking if you need to. All these principles will work.
And that's just what Rudy was saying. Change the way you think a little bit and
yes,
the way you can apply these practices and just a different point of view can bring you into something that you'd be surprised at the result.
Right, exactly. And there's plenty of practitioners worldwide doing
there
this.
Is. Oh, boy, and the University of YouTube is a fantastic place to go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it really is. There's a lot of information out there. People like Rudy are out there. Well, again, I'm Lauren Adams with Arkansas Valley Seeds. This is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. Next to me is Eric Tucker, and on the phone is Rudy Garcia. And we're on AM 920 KLMR and AM 1400 KBLJ, and we'll be right back after the break. We are well into spring now, and it's time to get those sorghums, millets, and native worm season grasses in. Tony and I are here to help, with the knowledge and experience to help you select the best products to reach your goals. We also have our signature line of Vitality turf grass seeds for your lawn, our rabbit ear wildflower mixes to attract pollinators, birds, or for just beautiful annual or perennial cut flowers. Whether it's for the farm, the ranch, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds, 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford, 719-254-7469.
Golden Plains Insurance reminds you that 2022 annual forage crop year has only one sales closing date, July 15. Their product provides a good way to insure against lack of rainfall in your grid on annually planted crops, such as oats, feed, triticale, and other crops intended for hay and grazing. You must sign up by July 15th for all four growing seasons. For questions, see the experts at Golden Plains Insurance in Walsh, Springfield, Rocky Ford, and Lamar. Golden Plains Insurance, prepared for your future.
Teamwork makes the dream work here on Growing Together with Lauren Adams and Eric Tucker and me and Boswell just kind of pushing some buttons. We have Rudy Garcia on the phone, and well, Lauren stepped out just for a second to get some water. And like I said, you know, we work together here. And so I'm welcoming us back. You're also listening on our sister station, News Radio 920 KLMR. Lauren, tie it up for us.
We're going to put a bow on this. Rudy, a deep debt of gratitude goes out to you for spending the time to be on the show with us and to share your information with us. Just really quickly, get out your contact information in case somebody wants to get in touch with you, just real fast.
Yeah, you can give him my email, rootsofregeneration@gmail.com, and that's my email. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me, or to, if you have a question or what have you. But that'll be the easiest way.
All right. Well, next week it's going to be Eric Tucker and I. Boy, it sure is good to talk to you, Eric. And we're going to be back next week, and we're going to talk about Eric's ranch, some of the practices that he's implemented there as far as the five principles goes, and what those benefits have been. We're going to put a bow on Soil Health Month here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds.
Right. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
It's been fun to learn about dirt.
Yeah, you're really going to get in trouble,
really?
Man.
What have we learned yet?
There are five principles of soil.
Oh, you had a star.
Yeah. I was listening, sort of listening. Right. But
okay,
I mean,
Ann, name them off.
No, yeah, that's okay. Right. That's your job.
Yeah.
Oh, are we running out of time, too? Oh, yeah. Good.
We're getting there. I mean, yeah. We're getting there. So I'm just really saying. Good. I'm just
all
saying.
Right. Well, if you happen to miss any of the episodes of Soil Health Month, you can go back to our website at avseeds.com. Scroll down to the bottom, click on the icon, and listen to those podcasts of the past episodes of Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. I'm Lauren Adams. This is Eric Tucker. And thanks to Ann Boswell for setting in.
Thank you. I feel like I learned so much here. Yeah.
I really appreciate you being a part of the conversation, because that's what it's all about. We're growing together.
We have one more minute.
We have a whole nother minute? Well, that's
great.
I
mean, you want to use it?
I do. I want to talk about Tony Davis over at Arkansas Valley Seeds. Get over there and see him. It's at 98 South 12th Street. Our telephone number is 928-254-7469. Give us a telephone call and let's talk about what's going on with your land and what we can do to help you to regenerate that soil and help you get the best success for the upcoming season.
Right. Tony's good help. He's good to talk to.
That young man really knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Are we done?
I think we're there.
Are we there yet?
It's kind of odd when you get close to the end and you're like, well, I got a whole bunch more to talk about, but I don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
You know?
That's kind of me too.
All right, gentlemen. And we learned things today too. It's always good to learn something. All right, you're listening to Growing Together. I'm Ann Boswell, sitting in for Pat McGee, who should be back next week, the vacationing Pat McGee. Thank you all so much for joining us. As always, as Lauren said, you can find the podcast on the website. Thanks for listening to News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ and on News Radio 920 KLMR.
The Arkansas Valley source for news, weather, sports, and information. News Talk 1400 KBLJ, La Junta.
Senate Democrats say they will force a vote today on the voting rights bill, even if Republicans vow to filibuster. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is accusing Democrats of trying to take over all future elections.
It's a recipe for undermining confidence in our election. We're remaking our entire system of government to suit the preferences of one far end of the political spectrum.
Senate Democrats need 60 votes for it to pass and say Republicans should at least